AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Let's do it. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet, AM 570 LA Sports. Just two
let's
hours
do
it. Today, Rodney. Short show. So we got to get right to it, okay?
Yeah, let's do it. Ready.
All right. Listen, I don't know if you saw the Laker game against Sacramento last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm actually starting to feel bad for Russell Westbrook. I do. I feel badly for Russell Westbrook. End of the game. It's close. It's back. It's fourth. We're watching the game at home. My sons are there watching. One of his buddies, the family. Westbrook gets the ball. And they sit there and they say, oh, God, no. No, no.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. Oh!
He did it.
Oh! If people are sitting there watching and saying, don't shoot. If people are actually watching the game and saying, don't shoot. You got a problem. I mean, you got a real problem. I feel badly for him.
Yeah.
You guys brought this up with Adam, Rodney, the other day. But I remember a sequence in the second quarter last night when Russ drove by his man, got to the rim, and basically threw the ball off the side of the backboard.
Yeah.
And like it's gone from like being comical to almost being like sad at this point.
You feel bad for the guys. Yeah, it is the yips in golf. It is... You know, Steve Sachs syndrome, whatever you want to. I mean, it is, and it's sad that he is in this kind of a funk. Because at least, you know, in a lot of situations, you can, you know, like in golf, sometimes if you do have the yips and certain things and certain happens to you, you usually have a club that you can pull out as like your trusty club. Okay, I can always hit the 7-iron good. I mean, I know that. Maybe cannot drive off the tee. I can't putt. I can't do, but I'm going to just pull out that 7-iron. I know that trusty 7 is never going to let me down, and I can do it and get away with it. You know, Russ's go-to is he's always been able to get to the basket, right? He can get to the rim and finish with either hand. And now, even when he gets to the rim, he can't finish. I mean, things are just, it is just not falling for him at all. And then to see, you know, teams back way, way, way off of him, daring him to shoot, you know, from outside. Not just, now it's not even just daring him to shoot the three, right? It's daring him to shoot from the elbow where he has been, you know, pretty good over his career. It's just daring him to shoot, period. And he's not making them. And I mean, not just not making them, but he's missing bad, Fred. And that's, it's unfortunate. Yeah, you do feel bad for him because you could see the frustration and the wheels in his head just turning off. It's like, I'm on the floor and they're giving me the shot. And my competitiveness, my history and my mind telling me I can make this, I can do this. And it just, there's absolutely no confidence when the ball leaves his hand.
None. I mean, there was a reason he was as wide open as he was at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Beat us. Go ahead. Knock it down.
Right. And then what do you do? I mean, they're backing off and you know, it's like.
He's got to shoot. He's wide open.
Exactly.
There's no choice.
Exactly. And so that's the scary part. It's like, okay, you're going to turn that down. They're sinking off, you know, packing the paint, just daring him to shoot. And, you know, and you're like, don't. And people are still like, don't shoot. Don't. Pass it. Give it up. But here in that moment, he's got to continue to shoot those shots. If he's wide open from 15 feet, he got to shoot it.
To make matters worse. And this was an all-time low, a new all-time low. They started trolling him during the game in Sacramento. They trolled him. I mean, I've never heard of that before.
Oh, yeah, they've done that before. Teams, they do it in baseball. You know, they do it in, you know, all kinds
yeah,
of stuff.
This was, yeah, but what this was.
They do it in basketball.
Was a constant barrage. I mean, he would get the ball during the game, and they'd play this.
You're as cold as ice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they went after him. But that's been done before. That's not that's
yeah,
not
but occasionally, not consistently. Every time he gets ready to shoot, you hear that?
You're as cold as ice.
I don't know if it was that persistent, but they did do it a couple of times last night. Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
wow.
They did. They did. They did.
Wow. I'm just talking about kicking a guy when he's down. They kept it up, and they'd play it, and then you'd see what would happen. And so after the game, he was actually asked about that.
Russ, you're in a little bit of a shooting slump here over these last four games. The
man, who are you telling?
The in-arena DJ had fun with it. I guess sort of where are you at?
Who?
Did you hear what they played? They played like Cold as Ice when you got introduced and stuff.
Who? The arena?
Yeah.
That's funny. They play that. I hope they played that the last 14 years, too. Yeah, it's funny. They play it now. That's cute.
Yeah. At least he had some fun with it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, he you know, he's not running away from it or downplaying it. He understands where he is. He's just, you know, he's, you know, obviously he's not been the greatest of three-point shooters, and but I this is probably the worst slump that he's ever been in, you know, and to have to deal with that. But yeah, you're in, you know, you he himself probably wasn't aware of it, that it was going on during the game, but I'm sure his teammates let him know what was happening, you know, and are recognizing when they're doing something. Sometimes in the moment you're on the court, you don't always hear those things or what they're playing and, you know, in transition. But his team was certainly aware of it. So especially the guys on the bench were aware of it.
You know, if he continues to struggle, maybe this is the unthinkable, and maybe you could never do it. But in crunch time, could you sit him? In crunch time near the end of the game, okay, we're going to take you out now. You could never do that with a guy like Russell Westbrook, could you? You couldn't take him out at the end of the game.
Well, I mean, we've seen it before where guys can't play because they can't shoot free throws, right? And they get hacked. And so some prominent guys, I mean, we most recently, right, the Ben Simmons situation where they couldn't play him late in games because teams would force him, number one, to shoot from the outside, and he couldn't do it. Or couldn't make it. And then on top of that, he couldn't shoot free throws. At least Russ can shoot free throws. So it's not that part of the issue. But, yeah, you're going to have to figure out because really – you know, teams are playing 5-on-4 when they're playing defense against the Lakers because they're putting them in what they used to call self-check, Fred.
Self-check.
He's in self-check. Yeah. Nobody has to check. He's checking himself.
Who's got him? He's got himself. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's incredible. But you could feel it coming in that third quarter, right? As Sacramento started making the run, and they started, and then at one point they couldn't miss, and the Lakers couldn't make a shot, and then it got to the point where nobody really wanted to take, you know, be assertive. Everybody was waiting for LeBron to do something, and so LeBron had to get a touch every time he came down the court, and everybody's like making sure I got to get the ball to LeBron first before I do anything, LeBron went cold and couldn't make a shot from the outside, and that just made matters worse. And then on top of that, you know, there were a few. Not only did Russ miss a few shots, there were a couple turnovers too. You know, that really just added to the barrage of just bad play.
Reeves played well. I think that's a positive. I love watching him.
Yeah,
love watching him.
Yeah.
How about
like Malik Monk too?
Malik Monk's playing a little bit now. Yeah. Like watching him.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you a name. Rumor mill, you know.
The name game.
How about Gary Trent? Available from Toronto. You know, number of teams interested. Would he be a fit for the Lakers? You'd have to give up an awful lot to get him.
What are you giving up? Don't have a lot to give up. That's right. The whole thing.
Talen Horton Tucker would go.
Yep.
Maybe some draft picks down the road would go. I don't know if he makes you that much better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really tough, and it's tougher to watch. And I know they got blown out yesterday by Brooklyn, but to see guys, and he didn't play, but Caruso on that Bulls team, and you know, Lonzo Ball doing what he's doing for that Bulls team. Not that we, you know, that was probably the right move for sure.
Yeah.
But KCP not here, and Caruso not here, guys that would give you life. You know, and you look back, that's a team that won a championship with those guys. And to break that up because you think the grass is greener, it just shows you that it's not always greener. You know, just because it's the offseason doesn't mean you got to make wholesale changes if you don't have to.
I thought it was interesting. Bill Plaschke said the other day he thinks Frank Vogel is gone. And I mean, it was just kind of a sense of resignation. Well, Frank's gone.
Yeah.
After the season, he's done. And I think that's sad, too. He's done a nice job. Yeah.
And he's handcuffed, you know. He's got his hands tied. What are you going to do? What can he do? And then on top of that, what can another coach do differently? I mean, who's going to come in and change what they have, right? Because you're stuck with the guys that they have. They're three top paid guys. They're your guys, and you got to try to find complementary pieces around it, and hope that it works. Because you're dealing with what you're dealing with. So I don't know I don't care if you bring Phil Jackson back. You know, can he make this work? I don't know if he can. I don't know if anyone can. You know, so to blame Frank Vogel and him being on the chopping block, you know, it's wrong and it probably will happen, but it's sad that it has come to that, because he is a good coach and he is a good guy, and this is not his fault.
Not at all. On the other hand, if you look at it, do you realize that the Lakers and Clippers basically have the same record?
It doesn't feel that way, does it?
It doesn't feel that way. The Clippers have played without Kawhi Leonard. Now, Paul George could be out for the season. They have the same record as the Lakers. They have no stars. And they have the same record as the Lakers. I find that mind-boggling, to be honest with you, that the Clippers' two best players aren't playing. And they're just trudging along.
Yeah, but also the Lakers were without LeBron for a long period of time.
Right.
And now they're without Anthony Davis. So you could almost say the same thing, that the Lakers have been, they're two stars that haven't played together for the majority of the season.
Fair.
So it's not that surprising.
But the Clippers are hanging in, whatever the definition of that is. They're not dead.
Yeah.
They're not dead.
No.
Without their stars. And if you look at the Clippers, maybe you think, okay, Kawhi might come back. But if Paul George is out.
Yeah, and the Clippers they went and beat Utah or Denver. Was it Denver they beat the other night?
Yeah.
Last night. Yeah, came back from way down without their two guys. Yeah. Without their two guys. So you got to, the Clippers are keeping it together. Whereas you can't, it's hard to figure out what really good team the Lakers have beat.
There aren't many. They haven't beat many good teams.
I think you can actually count them on one hand.
Yeah.
So I know they beat the Heat at one point.
They did.
That comes to mind.
Yep.
But I mean, they've lost to so many bad teams. You're trying to search for wins over good teams.
Yeah. And when that win that Jimmy Butler went out in the first quarter?
I believe,
like
he got hurt, Rodney.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Came back in his shorts to the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's beyond frustrating for the Lakers, because where do you go? You know, when they're up 14, you're thinking, okay, they're rolling there. Everything's going good. And then just couldn't hold it.
No.
You know, and then it ends up being ugly at the end, because the shots by Russ and the turnover, the turnovers at the end of the game again reared its head. You know, it's one thing that you're not making shots, but you can't turn the ball over. If you've got the ball in your hands, you can't be careless and turn the ball over like he's done. And they go down and hit a three. It's just, you throw your hands up, and then, at least, when you look up, and what's crazy about it, LeBron he went cold from the outside. He's actually been pretty good this year from three and from outside. But then he realized that, it's not falling. He put his head down, started playing bully ball, got him right back in it, right?
Yeah.
Got him within two. And they, come down and turn the ball over and a bad shot, and now they're down seven.
Yeah. You sent the funniest tweet yesterday to Kevin and myself. It was a fake tweet, but it was hilarious. Yeah, it was really funny. Don't know if you listening had a chance to see it. It looked like it came from the Cincinnati Bengals account.
Right, right.
And the premise was, hey, listen, please, please do not sell your tickets to Raider fans. We're going to be overcome by Raider fans here at the stadium. They're buying all the tickets, so we have to increase the price of the remaining tickets because there are so many Raider fans that are showing up. It was really funny, and the way they did it, it looked real.
It looked real, and if it was actually true, you could believe it.
Yeah.
Right? Don't sell your tickets because Raider fans are going to bombard our stadium and our city. So don't sell your tickets to Raider fans because that's who's buying all the tickets up there on the secondary market or any market. They're buying the tickets. So that's, I mean, that's probably a real thing. You know, Raiders coming to, I mean, people probably all over Ohio, they're, you know, obviously Raider fans everywhere, but all over that region, Raiders coming in town for a Cincinnati game and playing in Cincinnati, you know, those Raider fans that are everywhere, like, I'm going to that game. We're going to find a way to get to that game. It's called the Bengals ticket office.
Right. Absolutely. God, it was so funny.
Yeah.
But it's actually more real than you think it is.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened.
That went crazy. Just full disclosure. That was sent to me by someone who worked for the Raiders.
Oh, it was?
Yes. Yes.
So funny.
They, you know, they're getting a kick out of it. You know, the Raider Nation crew is in full effect always. But yeah, that was somebody that actually works in the Raider organization that sent me that.
And the Raiders, we know, travel very well.
Yes.
We also realized on Sunday the 49ers traveled very well.
Oh, boy.
You know, it is not unusual for visiting teams that travel well to make more noise than home teams during NFL games. Now, you saw that when the Chargers were playing down at Dignity Health.
Yeah.
25,000. It looked like a home. The Chargers that first year looked like they were on the road for every game.
Yes.
Every single game.
Yes.
But, you know, I have to ask the Rambly, Rams Nation, Rams family, what is going on? What is going on? When you go to SoFi and the crowd is louder for the opposing team, what is going on? That's your stadium, your team. How could you be outnumbered? It's really funny because now if you go to a Charger game, the distribution seems more equal or maybe skewing on the side of the Chargers.
Yeah. I was shocked by that. With the I went to a few Charger games this year and went to big ones. Like I went to the Cowboy game when they played the Cowboys, and you know the Cowboys travel as good as anybody, them in Green Bay really, and other than maybe the Chiefs or the Raiders. But the Cowboys travel, and there were obviously, you were like walking in, you go, oh, this Cowboy is going to be like Dignity Health again. Cowboy fans everywhere. But you got in the stadium, and the Charger fans showed up. It wasn't like it was a 3-1. It was almost, you know, 60-40 or 50-50. The Charger fans were in full effect too. So gradually, as they've Charger fans have, to Bill Plaschke's point, they have built, you know, they're building a base here of fans that show up and are loud in the stadium. And I think that you know, Sunday threw everybody off by the amount of 49er fans. And they're another one that we don't talk about a whole lot, but they are everywhere, especially in California. There are 49er fans everywhere in California that live here from the Bay Area, all those, you know, that live in Southern California now. So they are everywhere. They're kind of under the radar, one of those like the Raiders who have fan base everywhere.
Well, you know who didn't like it very much? Kelly Stafford. She didn't like the fact that there were more 49er fans than there were Ram fans.
I'm not going to lie. I've never seen so many of the opposing team's fans at a game. And we came from Detroit, and there are a lot of good traveling teams there, but that was wild. Like, Matthew is on a silent count. And for those of you who don't know what that is, like, he can't call. It's like a, like when he hikes the ball, it's either a loud count where you can hear him, and that's what usually quarterbacks are on when they're at home, or a silent count. Matthew is on a silent count. Jimmy Garoppolo was not, who's the opposing quarterback. It was crazy. I mean, I've never seen anything like that, but it made it very hard for us because I guess, you know, we weren't expecting to be on silent count.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's right, though. She's right. And I think that, you know, even the Ram players, we had, you know, Eric Dickerson on earlier this week, and he was shocked by the number of 49er fans that showed up. And they've always showed up, but I think the magnitude of that game, and they, you know, 49ers had to win to get in, and it was against their rival, the Rams. It just brought out, you know, extra several thousand 49er fans to that game that really was glaring of how many 49er fans were in the stadium. And I think that took that, you know, as a player, that catches you off guard too. You know, you think we're playing a home game, and yet the other team is, especially when you don't expect it, right? When you don't expect it. Like, I think the Chargers, when they're playing at Dignity, expected there'd be more Chief fans in the stands than theirs, and more Raider fans and Bronco fans when they played. But I don't think the Rams, I knew they knew that there was going to be a crowd there, but I don't think that they felt that it was going to be that dominant as it was, you know, in L.A. And I'm wondering, Fred, does it, because the Rams are not that iconic sports brand like the Raiders or, you know, Green Bay or the Cowboys, can they get to that point where no one comes in here and dominates the crowd?
Well, I can't remember a game this year where it happened like that. I think here's the issue, and Bill Plaschke brought it up. You know, the Rams have a fan base, the fan base that was here when they were here. And those people are excited. They're the Rambling, the Rams Nation. The Chargers seem to be building a younger fan base.
Yeah.
Right? People that didn't remember the Rams, for whatever reason, think, okay. And Justin Herbert helps an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll watch the Chargers. I that was just really surprising. And, you know, the Rams will have one home playoff game. Everything would have to completely collapse for them to have two. So they have one. Yeah. You have to believe that they're going to outnumber the Arizona Cardinal fans on Monday night. That I do believe. I think the stadium will be loud. I think if anybody's going to be in a silent count, it's going to be Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Not Matthew Stafford.
But you wouldn't see this as a team is rolling into the playoffs. Like, you wouldn't see a team come in and over opposing team overtake Dodger Stadium. Or you wouldn't see an opposing team overtake the Crypto Arena right now with the Lakers playing if they're rolling. And you know, on their playing good to the play,
never.
You would never see that, you know.
Mm-mm.
And you know, our two football teams, they don't have that. They don't have that brand yet. That is like, this is our house. This is where I go. And then it's motivating for the other team. And I've been on some of those iconic franchises. Like when I played for the Cowboys, we'd go into and take over stadiums in different places. We play Arizona, and certainly it was a Cowboy home game.
Did you realize it as a player?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We come out for warmups and there would be an abundance. The cheers for us would be louder than the home team. Yeah. You felt it and you fed off of it. You really, really fed off of it. The same thing with the Raiders. We came to town and it was Raider fans everywhere. And it was energetic for you as an opposing team coming to town. So it was pretty impressive. And I've been on the other side when I was in Detroit. You know, the Packers come to town in Detroit. And, you know, Kelly Stafford talking about, she felt that because she knew when the Packers came to Detroit, it was green and gold that took over the stadium.
Who's playing a little Know Your Squad?
Who?
Never lost.
866-987-2570. First caller. Squad today is the Dodgers. First caller, Kevin will pick you up, put you on the air. You're playing Rodney and Ronnie, and that is next.
Now's your chance to win $1,000.
Unbelievable.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Fun. That's fun. Enter at am570lasports.com. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Hey,
it's your girl Nina Chantel. You're listening to my homies Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's a throwback Thursday. A little Parliament. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. You know, Fred. You know my wife Holly. She's a tremendous sports fan, and she knows that I've played in cold weather climates in my career. Played in, you know, Detroit, and had to play in Chicago, had to play in Green Bay, and then played in Philadelphia, which was an outside. I actually played in Washington, which is outside and in the cold. And there was a question about Josh Allen because it's going to be sub-freezing temperatures.
What? All right. Well, no. You know what? Will you do me a favor?
Yes.
I have a feeling I know where this is going.
Yes.
Let's do it in the next segment when we have more time for it.
Got it.
Let's definitely do it in the next segment.
Deal.
Because honestly, we didn't know where we were going to put it. But you brought it up. Okay, Kevin. Right. So we're going to do it in the next segment. Fair?
Perfect. I love it.
Yeah. Because we're planning something special for you.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
We'll do it.
Had it organically coming for me, huh?
Yeah. All right. Coming up in the next segment.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad. Right now. Keep
listening for your chance to win an unforgettable night out in L.A. with your chance to win tickets and an L.A. Kings game, plus an overnight stay at the luxurious urban chic East Central Downtown Los Angeles Hotel, located across the street from Crypto.com Arena. It includes free valet parking and a $50 food and beverage credit at the hotel. Scott and Bellflower, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, today we're going to play Know Your Squad. The squad is the Dodgers. And when we play Know Your Squad, do you know the rules? Got to give you all five choices before you answer. If you answer before I give you all five, you're locked out. Got it?
Okay.
Cool. Rodney, you ready?
Good afternoon, Rogan and Rodney. I'm ready to go.
Good luck to all who holds the Los Angeles Dodgers record for career total bases with 3,669. Duke Snyder, Gil Hodges, Steve Garvey, Willie Davis, or Steamboat Willie?
Steve Garvey!
It is no good.
No, senor!
Gil Hodges.
How about new?
Duke Snyder.
Rodney.
The Duke.
Willie Davis.
The Dookie.
No, okay. Scott, here's the deal. Rodney had already won by saying Duke Snyder. So once he's won, then you don't do this. Willie Davis. No. When somebody wins, okay.
It's all right, Scott.
Got to clear up any confusion.
It's all right. That's all right, baby.
It's all right.
Everybody gets a little discombobulated when they go up against me. It's all good.
Never lost.
Never have.
All right. So let's go with the next one now. Here we go. The National League played with a DH for the first time in 2020. Which of these men was the first and so far the only Dodger to start a DH on opening day? Max Muncy, Chris Taylor, A.J. Pollock, Justin Turner, or Ted Turner?
A.J.
Justin
Pollock.
Turner.
A.J. Pollock. Ronnie is correct.
Stop it, Ronnie.
He is a weapon. He's got another year on his deal, too.
That's right, Fred.
Yeah, he'll be back. Okay. Which of these managers has the most wins in franchise history? Tommy Lasorda, Leo DeRocher, Walter Alston, Wilbert Robinson, or Smokey Robinson?
Walter Alston.
Ronnie just beat Scott. Okay. Walter Alston is correct. Not the water man. Which of these?
Walter Alston.
No, okay. Now we, all right. Which of these starting pitchers led the Dodgers in wins in their 2020 championship season with 6? Clayton Kershaw, Dustin May, Walker Buehler, Julio Urias, Julio Iglesias.
Julio Urias. Walker Buehler.
How about new?
Clayton Kershaw.
Rodney.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, Freddie.
Here's where we're at now. Two questions to go. Rodney and Ronnie are tied. Scott, let's get on the board on this one, okay?
All right.
Which of these players had three hits in the series clinching Game 6 win against Milwaukee in 2018. Yasmani Grandal, Yasiel Puig, Manny Machado, Cody Bellinger, Cody Rhodes.
Cody Bellinger.
No good!
Manny Machado.
Yasmani Grandal.
How about you?
Yasmani Grandal.
No, senor!
Chris Taylor.
And it is no good.
Chris Taylor wasn't an option.
Correct.
Yasiel Puig.
Scott's on the board. Scott, you're on the board. Good job.
Thank you.
Here's where we're at. Here's where we're at. Rodney has two. Ronnie has two. Scott, you have one. Scott, you get it. It's a three-way tie. Rodney or Ronnie get it. They win. Good luck. Arl Hershiser led the Dodgers with 23 wins in the 1988 regular season. Which of these pitchers was second on the team with 17 wins that season? Tim Belcher, Fernando Valenzuela, Don Sutton, Tim Leary, or Dennis Leary?
Tim Belcher. Fernando Valenzuela.
No, senor!
Tim Leary. Tim Leitwicki.
No. Ronnie got Tim Leary because Rodney went with Tim Leitwicki.
I knew it was Tim.
So, Ronnie, you win.
Damn it.
Thank you, Fred.
Damn it, Ronnie.
You were right there.
It's my second time this week, guys.
Ronnie, you're on a roll.
You had a good week so far.
Thank you.
Scott, you had a good day. You got one. We really appreciate you listening.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good day. Thanks.
All right, you too. Bye.
So Rodney was going to talk about something that his wife Holly brought up. I will say this. Sports, very much like life, is a game of inches. Does that give you a clue?
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Lucy Liu. My girl Drew. Cameron D and Destiny. And Charlie's Angels. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Feel it.
Question, tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own rings. Only ring your celly when
today,
when
Throwback Thursday edition.
Question, tell me how you feel
of Afternoon Delight.
Me, boy, you get
it's Independent Women Part 1 by Destiny's Child. This song first appeared on the soundtrack for the 2000 film adaptation of Charlie's Angels and eventually found itself on the group's third studio album entitled Survivor. The song held the top spot on the Billboard Hot 100 track for 11 weeks from late November in 2000 through early February in 2001. In addition to going platinum in the US, UK, and Sweden, the song also received the Grammy nomination for Best Song Written or Motion Picture. Again, today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Independent Women, Part 1. By Destiny's Child. Yeah.
Just 2 hours for us today. Short show. Petros and Money will jump on it too. So a little bit earlier, Rodney, you brought up something that Holly had talked to you about. And this is something that we are actually going to bring up later in the show. But since you brought it up, let's get into it right now. And I don't want to steal your thunder. Go ahead.
No. What are you trying to say?
I'm just
stealing my thunder.
Go ahead.
No, she tweeted out, I guess it was brought up, talking about the cold temperatures that are going to happen this weekend and this playoff weekend, and especially in Buffalo, I believe it was Josh Allen, and I believe it was Bart Scott who talked about playing in cold weather and how do you adapt to playing in cold weather. And one of his suggestions to Josh Allen was to take Viagra.
Well, let's just hear it from Bart Scott right now.
Issue with Josh Allen over the last 15 years, he's the second worst completion percentage in the NFL in freezing temps. The guy hates the cold. He doesn't play well. And he says the reason is because he's got bad circulation. So his toes get cold. And as you know, with your feet.
Can I get you a suggestion for him?
You want me
Josh to? Allen listening? Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I can't. I don't really have a response to that. But you played, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
A lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean?
A lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes, because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right? So it builds up circulation, which makes sure that it gets the circulation to the feet.
All those are facts. It would start out as a heart medicine and build circulation, Fred. I had not heard of that, to be honest with you, when I was playing to take Viagra when it got temperatures got very, very cold. Yeah, so Holly saw that and was anxious to ask me if I ever took Viagra to play in the cold. Not have I ever taken Viagra
to play
but play in the cold,
and your answer would
play
be
play football in the cold.
Yeah, your answer would be no.
No, I have not. But, I have not. Makes sense though, right? Doesn't it?
Well,
doesn't it make sense?
If you're
having trouble in the cold for, you know, circulation, doesn't it make sense that a little boost from the little blue guy might give you a little more circulation and blood flow,
but
not just to certain areas, but to
all areas,
other extremities.
Yeah, but would it not also suggest that there could be unforeseen consequences if you took the pill and then were running around on the field?
Yes, there would be some questions if some of the defensive players might think that you were happy to see them.
Yeah, I was going to say. Might that be an issue? I mean, if you took it and, you know, all of a sudden, oh, okay, nice to see you. Yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
Or if you're a quarterback, Rodney, and you're getting underneath the center.
Well, I think the worst would be the center. The worst would be the quarterback putting his hands
That's
underneath
what I mean.
The center.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you definitely didn't want your center to be using Viagra while it got cold. Because that would be very, very awkward and disrupt the snap. Needless to say, I would call a lot of shotgun in those situations if I knew my center was using Viagra to stay warm and keep the circulation going, Fred.
Yeah, but
we're going to go shotgun on this play, guys.
Yep.
The rest of the game, we're going to go shotgun.
When you were playing, and I'm not trying to be, you know, but when you were playing – at the beginning of your career, was there Viagra? When did Viagra come around?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know when it was really introduced to I think it's been around for a while, right? And then they found out that it actually helped ED, which you know a lot about because we've heard the spots, Red. But
I know about wave therapy.
Yes. But
Abuse
I don't know.
Medical clinic.
I don't know when it was actually introduced as a form of helping gentlemen with ED.
1998, it says. March of 98 is when the FDA approved Viagra.
Right. So I'd been playing a while.
Yeah.
I'd been playing before that was out there.
Yeah, so you'd never heard that before, just take Viagra.
No. No. No, I hadn't heard that. But again, sometimes, you know, whatever it takes, Fred.
Well, it's a game of inches. Isn't it? Inch here, yes. Inch there could make the difference. First down, touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
Inch here, inch there.
Hey.
Do you
edge.
Score?
Edge. It's all about getting that edge, Fred.
That's what I'm talking about. Any little bit helps.
Yes.
Okay. You know, maybe we should ask some current NFL players if they take Viagra. To increase circulation.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need it here in a warm weather site, right? You would only take it in a cold weather site?
Yeah. If the trouble is getting circulation, I don't think the circulation would be difficult if you're in a warm weather city because the blood flows and it doesn't get stagnant like it does in the cold. And you got to kind of start and stop and get yourself, you know, warmed up and going again. So, yeah, I wouldn't imagine it in Arizona or Texas or California or any places like that.
Ronnie, you ever taken Viagra? Just wondering.
Not yet, Fred. Do you have some extra blue chew you want to share with me or something?
Oh, no, we're done with those. Oh,
okay.
I told you what happened when I had my knee surgery. Remember that story?
No.
No. Don't you remember when I went in for the knee surgery? I walked into the prep area where they get you ready to go. And the nurse said, here, take these. And there were like five pills in a cup. And I said, can I take all of them at once? I didn't know. And she goes, I'm the nurse. I'm a medical professional. Yeah, you can take them all at once. So I take all of them at once. And then she goes, okay, just give me a second here. In the meantime, one of them starts to knock you out immediately, right? Mm-hmm. One of them, you're kind of like drifting because now they're going to prep you for surgery. So she comes up to me and she says, all right, now let me help you out of your clothes and we'll put on the gown. Well, I don't know what they gave me in this little cup of pills, but one of them had to be something like Viagra because I was like, no, you're not helping me out of my clothes. I'll be just fine. It gave me this reaction as if I had taken Viagra.
It wasn't Viagra? You sure?
Well, I can't imagine why I'd get Viagra before I have knee replacement surgery. All right, let me give you something here to calm you down. Here's some Viagra. I have this large, bulging growth. Yeah, I did. I did. And, you know, I got to be
million and one uses, Fred.
Right. And I was actually, if I can be honest, a bit embarrassed because the reaction lasted for like 6 hours from this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I did? I called everybody I knew and told them, you can't believe this stuff.
Oh.
You should have your knee replaced too.
So it was, you know, but you didn't think it was Viagra that they gave you. It was just the medicine before you had your knee surgery.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with that, with the suggestion that from Bart Scott is to take Viagra is that if one player decides, hey, this kind of works, right? And then shares that, then you know there are going to be others that if one works, two's got to be better.
Oh,
and then three's got to be better.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, they got it. It's lasting 8-9 hours, you know, and that could be a problem after the game when you got to shower and get undressed and go shower and get changed. You know, some of your teammates may look at you a little sideways.
I never knew you felt that way about me before.
Yes.
That's good to know. All right. Only 2 hours for us, so we need spirituality, and we'll do that next.